Welcome you on this beautiful Sunday, Mother's Day. It's great to be here to see all these beautiful flowers throughout the congregation. Next Sunday evening, we're hosting Courageous. It was up there. You saw it for a long time. And I'm wondering, we had an announcement regarding that during the... You're going to do it again? Could we have a microphone up here, please?
Good morning, everybody. Yes, next Sunday evening is the Courageous, the movie night here. We're going to have some popcorn and things, so bring your family out for that. And I also need your help. I'm kind of new to Berks County, and Carl gave me a lot of these little pamphlet things, stickers, to hand out, and I don't know this many people. I don't know how he thought I knew this many people. Can somebody please come up to me sometime after this service and just grab a few of these? All you need to do is just tear it off and just hand it to somebody, inviting them to the movie. This is not a ticket. They're not paying for this. It's just an invite to tell them where it is, when it is, and how to get here. Obviously, we're watching this movie, and then the idea is that we're going to start a men's group. It's going to be a four-week session or four sessions long in which it's based on the movie Courageous, and we're going to go ahead and have a Bible study that goes along with that. So, next Sunday night, I hope to see you all here, and please help me hand these out. I don't know that many people.
Thanks, Jeremy. The what?
The banner advertising is out front.
The banner is out front advertising it. Yeah. You're not talking about the John Deere tractor sign. Okay. Great. Oh, wonderful. Good. It's advertised out front. The lights shine on it at night. Good. Any other announcements? Yes, we have one over here. You probably know this beautiful woman.
I just wanted to remind the parents of the Jubilee Choir that this is the last Sunday we're singing this for this. We're taking a break for the summer. Thank you very much for bringing the kids out. We had a really good year, and hopefully we'll see you again in September.
Thanks. Any others? We're thinking in terms of announcements. I have one, and that is, this didn't make it into the bulletin, but on tomorrow night is a council meeting. Tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Tomorrow evening, 7:30, Fellowship Hall. And by the way, Fellowship Hall is where Courageous will be shown next Sunday evening. If there are no other announcements, let's shift gears and talk about prayer concerns and joys. A number of people are wondering what's happening with Richard Blatt. Richard Blatt is in the hospital, is in intensive care, is not doing very well at all, kind of rallied. After a rally, and I and a number of others visited with him yesterday, and he was alert and talkative and the Richard Blatt that we all know and love. Things have turned a bit for the worse, and so the prognosis is not very good at all for Richard. So let's remember Richard and Marlene and the rest of the family in our prayers. I wanted to put that out there. Now, you've had a time to think about prayer concerns or joys that you'd like to share. And Matt would be happy to bring the microphone around to you if you'd like to share a joy or a concern.
Yeah, I wanted to share with the congregation. Yesterday, I was delivering flowers for the nosegay. I was helping out because it's Mother's Day. And I happened to pull into a driveway of a family, and I got out of the van and got the flowers out, and I came around the van, and the person I was delivering the flowers to, she came walking up, and she saw the flowers, and her face just lit up. It was just great. And then she immediately went to tears, and she said, "These are from my son who's serving over in Afghanistan right now." And she almost had me crying. I felt like I had to give her a big hug. But I can only relate that to a mother's love for her child, the way God must love Jesus and us as his children. And I want you to think about that this week, and about a mother's love for her child.
And whenever you see flowers, wildflowers, dandelions, just remember they're God's gift to you because he loves you. There's one back here.
I'd like to have special prayers for a friend of ours, a camping friend of ours, is in serious condition in the hospital. John Kemp is his name. We don't expect him to live too long here. And then for my wife, who's at home with her leg propped up with cellulitis.
Is that John Kemp?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
I have a special joy that we celebrated yesterday. I want to really thank the congregation for the years past when they were praying for Amy. She turned 18 yesterday, and will be graduating this year and going on to Bob's alma mater, Temple University.
Great. Thanks. Go Temple. Go Owls. We have one here. This is Lorna Dune. Matt's going to bring the mic to you.
I'm here because of this gentleman. Because my grandson is going in the Marine Corps, the second one that's graduating this year. I got four teenagers that I believe you or the congregation know here. I came here all because of them.
Thanks.
And I came last week because their church had a split and they're going where grandma's gets too cold. I've been in Florida too long. Last week was chilly. Okay, I'm here today because this lady I've made friends with, and I know it's Mother's Day and that might seem weird, but I am glad to hear your testimony. And I'll tell you why. Because my grandson's going in that Marine Corps, and I'm not his mother, and I've told him, I'll pray for you every day. And that's the truth. He's walking around. Nowadays, the Marine Corps don't wait till you graduate from high school and make a decision. You're still in high school, and you're going in there, and you're doing boot camp right here, local. And he's out there, and he's milking cows at 5:30 in the morning. He was already gone. I waited till he woke up and was out of the house so I could start getting ready, because Grandma takes a long time with her long hair when everybody else wears it short. And I told her I might not look proper today. But I came, and I'm glad I did, sir. And if this is your wife and family, thank you all.
Thank you, Lorna. Her last name isn't Dune. I just remember the Lorna Dune cookies. Yeah. Yes, we have one more back here. Hey, let's just cancel the preaching and everything else, and let's just whiz it with one another, okay? Go ahead, Todd.
The last joy we have, myself and Janelle, is Lucas turned one yesterday. So he's a blessing to our family. So thank you.
Thanks. And our baby turned one yesterday, too. Turned one. His birthday was yesterday. He turned 29, but his birthday was yesterday. Yes. Yeah, it's Carol and I, a week from yesterday, next Saturday, we'll celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. So we're going to try to get away and celebrate that. Is that any others? Great. I almost forgot. Nancy Bowman has been in the hospital this week. When I was in to see her on Friday, she thought she would get out Friday later that day, but I just found out this morning that she's still in the hospital. Is that true? Is Nancy still in the hospital?
She's coming home today.
She is coming home today. Okay, so let's remember Nancy in our prayers. If that's the last of our concerns and joys, let's go ahead and rise to our feet and sing, Morning Has Broken. Let's join in this call to worship. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all people. The Lord is near.
Don't worry about anything.
Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which passes all understanding. And the peace of God will guide our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Remain standing and turn to 528. Please be seated. We move to that time in our service when we're going to consecrate a child to the Lord. You may remember that Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple when he was 8 days old and dedicated him to the Lord, and that's when he officially received his name. You also may remember that scripture where people brought their children to Jesus, and the disciples were rather indignant that they would allow these messy little children to sit on his lap and with runny noses and dirty hands and all that sort of thing. And Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, for to such belong the kingdom of heaven." It takes a lot of love, a lot of love and grace and forgiveness and strength and conviction to raise a child. And I want to share a passage of scripture that we typically do in a wedding ceremony, but I think it's very appropriate to this business of dedicating our children to God. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. And here's the part that we as parents need to hear again and again and again. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And those are not just in our relationship with our children, but in all of our relationships, we need to practice that business of bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, and enduring all things. And so I'm going to ask the Hoffas to come forward with their youngest child, Anthony James Hoffa, and we're going to dedicate him to the Lord. I've asked that they'll stand here on the first step and kind of face you so that you can see them and their child. Is he going to sleep through this?
He's going to try.
Great. There is no greater cause for thanksgiving than God's gift of new life. We stand on the edge of miracle as we view it. We can only marvel at what God accomplishes through the love of two persons. Still, there is no greater cause for prayerful dedication and seriousness and just plain worry. These little ones that you hold, you also mold. They stretch to walk your footsteps. They strain to speak your language. They labor to imitate your actions, which means we got to watch what we say and do. They speak as we speak. They learn to love what we love. Whatever is important to you will eventually become important to them. You can't deceive a little guy like this. He sees deeper than grown-ups, than the grown-ups with whom he rubs elbows. He sees the heart in a smile. He sees allegiance in the way we use our time. He catches a glimpse of what Christian faith is all about by looking at you. And, you know, we learn about God. I hate to tell you this, but for most of us, what we think about God, we learn as we look at our fathers. And so it's a big responsibility. And so there's a kind of a seriousness to this business of dedicating our children to God. And I have some questions that I want to ask you, and you can respond to them by saying, "We do." God has entrusted this precious child into your care. Do you now present him before God in an act of consecration?
Yeah. We do.
Do you dedicate yourselves as parents to the task of instructing him in the way of the Christian life?
We do.
To the best of your ability, will you provide a home atmosphere and a life of devotion and prayer to the way of Jesus so that by your personal example, Anthony James Hoffa will come to a confession of Jesus Christ himself? This is one I want you to think about a little bit more and say, with God's help, we will.
With God's help, we will.
Yeah, it takes a lot of help, as you know. And we're all pulling for you. As we say on the streets, we have your back. as parents. And so now I want to take this guy. Unfortunately, I woke him up.
It's all right. He's happy.
But hopefully he's still in a dreamy enough state that he won't mind. This is Anthony James Hoffa. And he's a keeper, I think, right? I mean, he was the allowable limit, right? Here he is. And he thinks Pastor Bob is just the greatest guy. Anthony James Hoffa, I dedicate you to the Lord in the hope that all of the efforts of home and family and friends and church family and community will bring you to the point of knowing and loving Jesus. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Please stand and pray with me. Father, we thank you for this little one. It's little children, I mean, they're just awesome. They're little miracles. They're actually not little miracles, they're big miracles. And we thank you for his life. We pray that you would bless and keep him, watch over him, keep him healthy and strong. Bring him to the point of knowing and loving you as his Lord and Savior. We pray in Jesus' name. Be with us as a congregation. Help us to provide support for his parents and his extended family. May we be part of his extended family. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Good job. Thank you. Thanks so much. You may be seated. couple of years ago, Mark Myers put together a slideshow that is really moving, and I've asked him if he would do it the past couple of years on Mother's Day and ask if he would do it again today. And so as we prepare to receive our tithes and our offerings, I invite you to pay attention as the plate goes by, but keep your eyes on the screen. The ushers will now come forward.
As I lay me down to sleep, it's not for me I ask, but my children's souls to keep. It seems the world is going crazy, and though I need to do my share, could you please take them under wing? Watch over them especially, keeping them safe from everything. This is a mother's prayer. I know you're listening in the silence of this night. But I hold on to your light, and though there's darkness all around us, by my faith I know you're there. Give me the strength to lead the way, send me the words I need to say, use me to guide them day by day. This is a mother's prayer. I know I can't do this by myself. I thank you for your help. So close we won't forget. Teach us to love as you love. This is a mother's prayer. Teach us to love. Teach us to love as you love. This is a mother's prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, that's, I think, a prayer of all of us, that you would teach us to love in the way that you love, because your love is perfect. And we're really imperfect. We lose our temper. We say things when we're tired that we wouldn't say when we're not. And so continue to scrape off our rough edges, sand off our rough edges, and Help us to continue to grow in our love for you so that we might learn to love in the way that you love. We pray that for all of our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and nephews and the children in this wider community. In many ways, we're a culture that needs a lot of parenting, and even those of us who don't have children can become spiritual parents for many who need to be parented. And so help us to do that. We also want to remember Nancy Bowman, who hopefully will be home from the hospital today, and Richard Blatt, who is in the hospital, not doing well at all. His prognosis is not good, but with you, all things are possible. So be with Richard and be with the family. We think of that mom who got teary-eyed when she saw flowers from her son. And we've been touched by that. And we remember Lorna's grandson who's going into the Marines, and pray that you'd be with her, with him, watch over him and protect him. And we think of John Kemp, who is in need of our prayers, not doing well at all, and Joan Swaggart. Be with her and bless her and bring healing. We're so grateful for Amy's 18th birthday and Lucas's first birthday and Christian's 29th birthday and the birthdays of many others, maybe not yesterday or today or tomorrow, but we thank you for the gift of life that you have come to bring us, the words of life. Thank you for 40 wonderful years with a great woman. Bless her, bless us. May your love that you've taught us to love one another with be evident to those around us. Lord, we thank you and we bless you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing to look at the book of Acts. We're up now to Acts chapter 12. And this is probably a familiar story to many of us, and I want to read through the story, but the focus won't be the story itself, but the very last verse is what I'd like to focus on. But let's go ahead and remember this story. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. And so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. And then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison. But he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. And they passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. And then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." And here's the one that I want to focus on. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Now, the thing that's interesting about this is, and I always love it when I, you know, I choose these scriptures and they just kind of come out on the right day. But Mary was a woman of prayer. You may remember that after Jesus ascended into heaven, or before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to return to Jerusalem and wait until they were clothed with power on high. They didn't know it then, but he was referring to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would empower them to be able to live as faithful followers of Jesus. And so they went back to Jerusalem, and Mary, the mother of John Mark, invited them to her home. And she turned her house into a prayer center in Jerusalem. And it wasn't just for a Wednesday night prayer meeting once a week. We're told in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that they gathered in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and they constantly devoted themselves to prayer. They were there 24/7. And then we see glimpses as we read through the book of Acts of the church gathered for prayer in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. They were there in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John were first threatened. They were told they better not ever preach in the name of Jesus again in the temple square. And the church came together and they prayed. And after they prayed, it says in Acts 4:31, the place where they had prayed was shaken. And they were all filled anew with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with even more boldness, even though they'd been threatened not to speak it at all. And now we see them again. Peter is thrown into prison. James had been executed. The church continued to pray in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. She was a woman of prayer. And I believe that there are few things on this planet that are more powerful than a praying mother. From the time I took my first church at the age of 28, I found that there were women there who prayed serious prayers. Helen Eaton was one of the women there at Trinity, the first congregation I pastored. And then I moved on to Meadow Branch, and Anna Petrie was a woman, a serious woman of prayer. And then I moved from Meadow Branch to Briary Branch, and it was in many ways, that was descriptive. And Hilma Long was a woman of prayer. And my last congregation, three sisters from the congregation every Wednesday met with me, laid hands on me, and prayed over me. And one of those was Dolores Miller. I've found that women have a way of having a connection with God that many of us as men don't have. And I've wondered about that. I've studied the scriptures, tried to figure out some theological explanation for that. But Richard Foster, who some of us went to the Renovare conference a couple of weeks ago, and many of us have read his, I think it was his first book, Celebration of Discipline. And in the chapter in that book that talks about prayer, he says that many times, you know, we pray and our prayers seem to have little results, and we kind of beat up on ourselves. We think that our prayers have little result because our faith isn't strong enough. And Foster says that often it's not that we don't have enough faith. In fact, he says, Jesus said that faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, and most of us have at least that much faith. He said, often our prayers aren't answered in the way that we hope that they're answered, not because we lack faith, but because we lack that sort of heartache in our prayer. And I think that's why mom's prayers have a tendency to get answered. Because, guys, listen, you know, one of our children fall down and scuff up their knee, and we say, get over it, you know. Come on, if they're a boy, be a man, you know. And moms, you know, run to them and say, oh, let me kiss the boo-boo. And, you know, moms have that kind of heart connection with children. And God reads the prayers of our hearts. And so the solution is not necessarily to get a whole bunch of women praying for us, a whole bunch of moms praying for us, but men, we need to learn to pray from the heart. And I'm going to say a little bit about that a bit later. I want to share with you a couple of sentences from Stormy O'Martian's book entitled The Power of a Praying Parent. I believe that God invests in every parent. And let me say that you may be here today and you may never have had children, but you are needed as a parent in an increasingly parentless society that we live in. And that film, Courageous, that's one of the issues that that film tackles, particularly as it relates to fathering. All of us can serve as spiritual parents to the many children who need to be parented. And Stormy writes this in her book, The Power of a Praying Parent. It's the best of jobs. It's the most difficult of jobs. It can bring you the greatest joy. It can cause the greatest pain. There is nothing as fulfilling and exhilarating, and there's nothing so depleting and exhausting as being a parent. But I have good news. We don't have to be tossed and turned by these winds of change. Our children's lives don't ever have to be left to chance. We don't have to pace the floor anxiously, biting our nails, gnawing our knuckles, dreading the terrible twos or torturous teens. At every stage of their lives, our children need and will be greatly benefited from our prayers. The key is not to try to do everything ourselves, but rather turning to the expert parent of all time, our Father God. Don't ever underestimate the power of a praying parent. Prayer is much more than just giving a list of our desires to God, as if God were a great sugar daddy or Santa Claus in the sky. Prayer is acknowledging and experiencing the presence of God ourselves, and inviting His presence into our lives and circumstances. It's speaking the presence of God and releasing the presence and power of God, which gives us the means to overcome any problem. Never underestimate the power of a praying parent. There are few things on this planet that are more powerful, that are more potent than the power of a mother's prayer, a father's prayer. Well, there are three reasons why this is so, and I'm going to be really brief. I also want to tell you about some land in Florida that I can sell really cheap. No, I'll try to be brief. The first reason why we need to really press into God and increase our prayers for our children and our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, the children in this community, is that while we have to sleep sometimes, God never sleeps. And we all know as parents and as grandparents that parenting can really wear you out. And, you know, there are times when, I tell you, I was crazy. I mean, literally certifiable the first 6 months of my parenting, because I'm a very light sleeper, and when Matt would wake up in the middle of the night and I would get awake, I couldn't go back to sleep. And after 6 months, I had a severe case of sleep deprivation. And And then, you know, just like that, Matt was 16, had a driver's license, and got a job at Hershey Park. And once again, I couldn't sleep until he got home at night, you know? And sometimes they would close the park at 10 o'clock, and then the employees would keep the rides open. Some of you have been employees, obviously, at Hershey Park. And they would, some nights he wouldn't get home till 1 o'clock in the morning. No matter what time he got home, I was awake until I heard the car drive into our house. See, the reason we need to turn our children over to the living and loving God is that God never sleeps. Listen to this psalm. I'd be surprised if many of you couldn't quote this from memory. I lift my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your feet slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And so, as parents, we need to turn our children over to one who never sleeps so that we can get some sleep. Okay. Second reason it's so important that we become praying parents. And again, this is a message not just for those of us who are biological parents and grandparents, but all of us as Christians need to exercise spiritual parenting in the world in which we live. Second reason that our prayers have some effect is that God hears the prayers of our hearts. In fact, you know, a lot of times we're reluctant to pray, certainly in public. I mean, for some of us, we couldn't think of it. You know, we'd rather go to Afghanistan as a Marine than being invited to say a prayer in public, you know. What we don't understand is that the language with which we pray doesn't matter at all to God, because God doesn't really listen to our words so much as to our hearts. And I think that's why the prayers of mothers are so effective, because God hears the prayers of our hearts. And there's, you know, that wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8 where Paul says, don't worry about how you pray, for the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groans too deep for words. God can completely understand what we're saying through our sighs and through our groans. And so don't worry about the perfection of the grammar in your prayers, because God listens to the prayers of our hearts. And then there's a third thing, and that is that God is able to do what we're not able to do. You know, we have certain human limitations, but God isn't constrained to live within the boundaries of our human limitations. In fact, Paul puts it this way in the benediction that he writes to his letter to the church in Ephesus. He said, and now unto him who is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or can even imagine. You see, our God is able to do what we can't even imagine. And so don't worry about praying seemingly impossible prayers, because we have a God who is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than all that we ask or can even imagine. Our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Our God is constantly listening to the urgent prayers of our hearts. Our God is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than all that we ask or even imagine. I love this Billy Graham quote. You've heard me say it before. He said, "Heaven is full of answers to prayers that have never been prayed." And so today, I want you to reach for one of those answers. And I'd like to close us with a time of prayer. And maybe you don't have faith the size of a mustard seed today. Maybe this has been a pretty tough week. I talked to somebody at the early service who came out and said, "Boy, it's been a really, really tough week." And we all have those kinds of weeks, some days. Seems like a week. But I have some faith today that I want to share with you. And so this is what I'd like to do in closing. I'd like you to think of that person or that circumstance or situation that needs some prayer. And I'd like you to just kind of silently lift up the name of that person or that circumstance, that situation. And I'm going to give you a chance to think of that and then silently lift it up before the Lord. And then I'm going to pray over that with as much faith and compassion as I can muster. And if you brought a little extra faith and compassion with you today, I want you to join in with me so that we can see some prayers answered today. Now, often, I think God often chooses to work through the natural. But when God is unable to work through the natural, God chooses to work through the supernatural. And some of your prayers today may need a supernatural answer. We have a God who is able to do far more exceedingly abundantly than all that we ask or can even imagine. Let's pray together. Remember, I'm going to give you a chance to lay that prayer concern out before the Lord. Just take a moment to think about it. Now, if you feel comfortable taking hold of the hand of the person next to you, do that. If you don't feel comfortable with that, don't worry about it. But I want to pray together. Lord, I believe in my heart of hearts that there is nothing more powerful than the prayers of your people. And I believe that what Billy Graham said is true, that heaven is full of answers to prayers that we're reluctant to pray because it just seems too big, too impossible, that we can't put into words what we're feeling and hoping and dreaming, fearing. Lord, help us to scrape together a bushel of faith today. And help us to make a real heart connection with you. As we cry out to you, that you would respond to these prayers of our hearts. I pray that we might experience your presence today. And that our children and the children of this church and this community would come to see what God is like through seeing the presence of God operating in our lives. Move in our midst. We invite you to do more exceedingly abundantly than even what we've asked, according to your power that is at work within us. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet, sing the concluding hymn. I'd like to invite us to do the last time that we do the chorus, I'd like to do it a cappella. And I'd like to do it not as a white congregation, but a black congregation, okay? So you have a couple of verses to get black, okay? Lord, that's our prayer as we go from this place today, that you would lead us, that we might not stray. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.